ever asked yourself, is this all there is? Or I know I can do more than this. Why don't I? And it's easy to get stuck in a rut and then realize one day that the years flew by and we're working at a job that seems meaningless. Today is our day to move towards our dreams. On today's Alaska Coach Keith's radio show, host Keith Baldwin explores how we can develop our thirst for meaning into concrete plans to bring dreams into reality. And Keith, along with his guests, will share tips and tricks for developing and living to our highest potential. Keith motivates others with the philosophy of conceive, believe, and achieve. This is Alaska Coach Keith's radio show. And now here to help you achieve your dreams, host Keith Baldwin.
Hey, welcome back to Alaska Coach Keith's radio show. And I'm so excited about today's guest. I'm going to introduce him here in just a minute. For those who have been following for a while or follow my blogs, you know, one of the things that I encourage people to do is learn how to play full out. And our guest today, Walt Grassel, certainly has turned himself into somebody who plays full out. Walt's on a mission to help people overcome stage fright. At the age of 50, he decided to face his fear of stage fright, and it wasn't easy. He started with joining Toastmasters, but that alone didn't cure him of what he calls a disease. But he was just totally determined to conquer this fear. So he started attending speaking boot camps, competed in contests, speech contests, then went and studied improv and stand-up comedy. He advanced to the finals in speech contest. And get this, he went from speaking in Toastmasters Club to performing stand-up comedy at the Hollywood Improv and the Flamingo in Las Vegas. He's performed in improv and sketch comedy shows put on by Held Together in Long Beach, California. And he recently retired at age 55 from a career in aerospace and now is a host of his own internet radio show, Stand Up and Speak Up. Walt's written a few magazine articles and published a book called, surprisingly, Stand Up and Speak Up. So welcome, Walt. I'm so excited that you joined us on the show today.
Well, thanks, Keith, for having me. I'm happy to be here, and it's a little bit different being a guest on a radio show than a host, so I'm looking forward to the experience of being asked the questions instead of asking the questions.
Well, great. You can just sit back and relax, and I'll just pick your brain and your heart a little bit, because I'm just your journey is so inspiring to me. I'd like to share some of that inspiration with other people too.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Before we dive into some of the questions, though, since we were just talking about the radio show, can you tell people where they can? Where they can find your radio show and when your radio show is?
Sure. Thanks for the plug. My radio show is on Thursday mornings Pacific time at 11 a.m. And it's on the same Rockstar Radio Network that we're on today. And the podcasts are available either at my show page or at my website, waltgrassel.com. And the Stand Up and Speak Up is also available as a podcast on iTunes.
Great. And who would this target audience be that could benefit the most from your show, Walt?
It's a couple of types of people. One, if you have a fear of public speaking, or if you're a beginning public speaker, it will help you overcome your fear. It will help you It helps you overcome your fear. It'll help you learn the mechanics of speaking and how to tell stories. But also the lessons that you apply to overcoming that fear can apply to overcoming any fears.
Very cool. You know, one of the things my coaching practice is around helping people really discover, you know, their life purpose or their purpose and their talents, and then put those into actions towards their vocation. But you know, a lot of times it's hard to make changes. Can you tell me a bit about, your journey? So in your book, Stand Up and Speak Up, I love you call yourself Walt 1.0 and Walt 2.0. Can you tell me a bit about just that, who Walt 1.0 was and the transition?
Sure. What I call 1.0 is when I, as a shy kid, entered the workforce, and I didn't know anything. I was flipping hamburgers, and next thing you know, I'm going to work in an aerospace factory. And I went to school while I was working as a technician. I got my engineering degree, and early on, people saw in me, I guess, some leadership skills. Even though I wasn't a good public speaker, I was sincere and effective one-on-one, and that seemed to work. And I rose up the ranks to management. But I just had a fear of public speaking that limited, I guess, how far I could go in my career. But in spite of that, I was able to become successful. And then what I looked at is when I finally did my fear of address my fear of public speaking, I call that Walt 2.0. And then, you know, that was the start of this whole new journey.
Wow. You know, it's I think one of the things I love about your journey is that I had a similar fear of public speaking. In fact, I often, when I'm speaking in front of groups, talk about overcoming this fear. I went, my first Toastmaster meeting I drove up to 14, 15 years ago and about threw up. And then I drove up and started to get out of the car and chickened out and drove away because I was so terrified about walking in. But then I went back the next week and I signed up and, gosh, it sure worked for me and it really changed everything for me. So tell me a bit about, you know, what prompted the change? It's kind of hard to say I've got this fear and I want to overcome it. Can you tell me a bit about what prompted that change?
Sure. I actually heard about Toastmasters 15 years before I joined. Uh-huh. And the way it was explained to me, I said, oh, there's no way I could do that. Now, it turns out the explanation I had wasn't like Toastmasters really was, but it was enough to scare me away. But about 15 years later, I was just close to turning 50, and we had to go through some layoffs at my work. And as a department manager of 100 people, I had to address the people who weren't being laid off. And in doing so, HR gave us some talking points, and I wasn't comfortable speaking to the group without the talking points. And I ended up, my boss sat in the meeting, and in a 360-degree appraisal, he said, you really ought to work on your public speaking. It would have been more effective if you left out some of the talking points, but if you left out some of the talking points, but you spoke more from the heart without notes. And I go, okay. And my HR manager sent me to Toastmasters. And when I did that, it was the first step in a long sequence of things that I'm now, because I took that first step, I'm now living a totally different life.
Wow. And how so?
Well, I joined Toastmasters and didn't speak I spoke six times in the first year and a half, which is not often, but I was studying a lot. And then I went to some boot camps in February of 2008 and couldn't find the recipe to how to get over stage fright. The things that people told me didn't work for me. But I decided that if I could just conquer that fear, I could be a good speaker, because people who were getting paid to speak were not that much better, I felt, than me, other than the fact that I was petrified when I was up there. If I could conquer that fear, I could do that. And in the course of doing that, I took improv, which helped me get out of my head, and I took stand-up, which helped me learn how to be intentionally funny, connect with an audience, and facing 200 people at a comedy club, I was so afraid before I started, but it was such a high when I was finished that when I went back to speak at Toastmasters, it was a much smaller fear because I'd conquered a bigger fear. So by taking that first step, it led to other steps. And I like to use the expression, when opportunity knocks, answer the door, because there'll be another door right behind it with another opportunity. But if you never answer the door on that first opportunity, you never get that chance to do all the things that are waiting behind it. And it's truly remarkable what happened to me.
You know, it's interesting. I just love the progression that you talked about. Sometimes when they talk about phobia research getting over phobias, they talk about a fear ladder that people start off with the low, you know, something that's just like a minimal exposure to it, and then continue to expose themselves to more and more what feels like risky exposures to that thing they fear.
Mm-hmm.
How has that worked for you, just continually exposing yourself to higher degrees of this being in front of the crowd?
I get opportunities. I was taking improv classes, and I signed up to take a class that resulted in a performance. And instead of saying, oh, no, I could never do that, I said yes. And I was nervous the first time I did it. But after I did it once, I was able to, now I performed in several improv shows. And I also then tried a sketch comedy show where you have to remember your lines. And one of my fears as part of stage fright is my mind going blank, not being able to remember my material. So I've done a lot of really fun things, been part of entertaining audiences, both as a speaker and as a performer. And it gets easier each time you do it, and it feels great. And so by starting out by joining Toastmasters and speaking and competing in contests and just building up and taking other challenges, it just snowballs, and it's all a positive snowball.
What's the difference in you? Like when you look in the mirror now and see yourself, I mean, what's changed in Walt 2.0 because of all the work that you've done?
Well, I'm definitely a more confident person. I think I have more swagger when I walk down the street. I used to be shy in talking to strangers. I used to be very uncomfortable, and I started overcoming that. But having conquered all these other fears, interacting with people in public, standing in line at a grocery store instead of minding my own business, if something funny happens, I'll make an aside to somebody to try and give them a smile or just be pleasant to people. So it's given me a lot of personal confidence that had you seen me before, you wouldn't recognize me. People that see me now that used to know me, I'm a much different person, and I think that's to my benefit. We always want to grow and improve as we get older, and I think taking this step has given me marked outward growth.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. We're going to break here right now, and then we'll come back with Walt in just a minute.
Coach Keith will share lessons he's learned from a 20-year study of career engagement, motivation, and personal leadership after we return from this short break.
Have you ever thought that maybe there was more to life than what you have? Have you ever looked at other more fortunate people and said, why can't I have that? Do you know that greater potential lies deep within you, which all you have to do is learn how to tap into it, and your life will improve, perhaps dramatically? Get ready for the Power to Create Your Life Radio, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. World-renowned author, speaker, and coach Michael Stevenson is an expert in how to use your entire mind, both conscious and subconscious, to live a happy, fulfilled, prosperous, and healthy life. Author of the book, Unstuck, The Owner's Manual for Success, and creator of the live event, The Power to Create Your Life Now, Michael has spent the last 14 years teaching people to tap into the vast resources you have available within you. Join Michael and his guests weekly for a fun, empowering way to start your week on The Power to Create Your Life Radio. Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. What's ideal for you? Really, what's ideal for you? Being who you are, doing what you love, and getting out and about with friends. What's ideal for you? With your host, Janice Christopher, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. And it all starts with Janice doing just that. Then being open, curious, authentic, and living her life on a quest to discover everything that could possibly make life ideal. Check out the website, whatsidealforyou.com. Studies have shown that 80% of Americans, and probably everyone else too, dislike their work. 80%. The mission then is to turn that passion statistic around, to show how it is possible to live your passions and make a living, or live your passions so that you'll be able to mush through your job until you can change it and watch life's magic begin to happen. It's What's Ideal for You with your host, Janice Christopher, Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to Alaska Coach Keith's radio show. Keith, a life coach and professional speaker, continues his focus on motivation and career revitalization. Here to help us focus on our dreams, take steps towards our objectives, and become alive with purpose, here is Alaska Coach Keith Baldwin.
Welcome back to the show. My guest today is Walt Grassel, the author of the book Stand Up and Speak Up, and also a radio show host. So I'm excited to have him. We're talking about how Walt made a transformation from being really uncomfortable, in fact, having stage fright, so really uncomfortable speaking in public, to really pursuing it as part of his career and how he's moving his life forward. Walt, I want to kind of wrap back to something that you mentioned a little bit earlier. You said that when you first were in your career, that you had some people that believed in you, that saw something in you that perhaps you didn't see yourself. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and what that meant to you?
Yeah, I guess I was in a technical environment as an engineer, and because I started as a technician at the age of 17, which was really young, almost everybody was older than me. And in my early 20s, there were a group of us, about five or six engineers as a team. And one of the guys wanted to be the leader of the team when our group leader got promoted up to the next level. And he wanted it because he couldn't get people to play nice with him. So he felt if he was in a leadership role, people would do what he told them to do. I always tried to go along, and if somebody needed to lead, I would lead. If I needed to follow, I would follow. Or if I was in the way, I would step aside. But I asked all the other people in the group that, well, if this guy's not the leader, why won't you do it? And they go, I don't want to deal with that. And I kind of thought, well, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And they actually went to me, who was the youngest person in the group, and asked me if I would be that lowest level supervisor. And I said yes, under the condition that they would send me to training. And I thought that the way you led was by telling people what to do. But quickly in my training, I learned that kind of the model of servant leadership, where you sort of facilitate and lead, you just define the direction and then you help people meet the goals. I was very comfortable doing that. And I could do that one-on-one and in meetings more by asking individual questions in small group meetings. And that's kind of how my leadership career developed. And again, if I had to get up in front of any sized audience of 15 people, 20 people, larger, it was just a miserable experience. If there were PowerPoint slides, I could read them. If I was asked a question, I had no hope of answering a question. I would just totally freeze up. It was a miserable experience. But in spite of that, I felt that serving others in a leadership capacity was my passion, what I was meant to do, and what I developed a knack for doing.
You know, some of my audience are small business owners who may have, you know, 6 to 10 employees and, you know, own like insurance agencies or other small businesses. Why is speaking important for a small business owner?
Well, I think for a small business owner, it has multiple benefits. Number one, if you are a confident speaker, you will be more effective talking to individuals one-on-one or to small groups, whether it's your workforce or potential customers. It can't help but build your confidence. It's almost like if you don't have that skill, it's like you're hiding something, and I don't think you come across as authentic. And somebody once said that all speaking is public speaking, even if it's just you and I having a conversation. So I think it helps. Well, as a leader, you want to have a vision for your company, you want to have goals, and your employees need to understand your vision and what the goals are. What do you expect them to do? And if you can't communicate that clearly and listen to when they give you feedback as to whether or not they get it, then you're not all going to be pulling in the same direction, and you're less likely to meet your goal, or if you meet your goal, it's probably going to take more effort than it would have had you been a good communicator and were able to get everybody in alignment and everybody pulling in the same direction.
Oh, cool. You know, I'm fascinated with something you said about, you talked about a bit in the first segment, but then you brought up again that when you overcame the fear of public speaking and really started to play full out, that in some ways you became more authentic. You let more of yourself come out. Can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. One of the things that inhibited me is being self-conscious and shy. I was afraid, and I think a lot of others are as well, that people will judge you. And you think, you know that you are not quote-unquote normal, that you have your flaws, your warts, if you will. And you're afraid that if people find out, they're going to think less of you. So you want to keep everything kind of behind a wall. And one of the things I learned in Toastmasters and through other great speakers is that telling personal stories is how you connect with an audience. And so when you have a problem and you tell a story that says, I had this problem and I overcame it, you actually get credibility with an audience, as opposed to my mindset before is, well, if they find out that I had that problem, they're going to think I'm worthless and they're not going to pay attention to me. So that's kind of the, you know, one of the things that was holding me back was that fear of being judged by other people. And then it wasn't until I was almost 30 that I realized, you know what, nobody is quote-unquote normal. Everybody deviates from the norm in some manner. And it's not something to judge people on.
So how could a small business owner, again, you know, that is trying to inspire their staff to take action, and maybe the staff isn't comfortable taking action, like it could be calling to schedule appointments or asking customers, you know, challenging questions or, you know, a variety of different things related. How could somebody use what you're talking about to inspire and motivate their team?
I think if for any of those deficiencies that earlier in their career, if they had that same problem, it's to their benefit to say, look, when I was in your shoes, I used to have problems calling to make appointments. But somehow along the way, they hopefully overcame it. So what did they do to overcome that fear? And do they know other people? And then tell other people's stories that, you know, let's say Keith had the same problem, but the, you know, I conquered it by doing this. Keith did it by doing this. There's more than one way to overcome this problem, but until you overcome the problem, you're not going to be effective. Once I overcame the problem, my performance went from being down here to being up here. And if you follow whatever trick works for you, your performance also can go from down here to up there. So if you have some relatable experience to what your team is having a problem with, do that. And if you don't, then bring them all together and ask for their input. And maybe one of the team members has a sense of what can help. Or even if they just talk about their fear and realize that they're not the only one that has that problem. I've gotten that feedback a lot when I tell my story. People go, oh, you know, I had the same problem. I can relate to that. I had a problem with having too much clutter in my life and also losing weight. And I took steps to address both those problems. And when I talk about it in a Toastmasters meeting or in a contest, people come up to me after the speech and start saying, oh, I can relate to that. I'm glad you shared your story. I didn't realize that this is a common problem.
You know, that I just love that you just gave three really good points that a small business owner could use. They could either share their own challenges they had with the fear and just, you know, be authentic that they also have fears and had fears, that they could bring a team together and see if, you know, and talk about it, bring it out so that maybe somebody in the team had that experience, or if nothing else, just bring that fear to light. Because I love Brené Brown's work. You know, she writes on vulnerability, and of course, like over 8 million people watched her TED Talk, and she talks about that shame thrives on darkness and silence. And so I love your idea about basically just bringing these fears out. Let's talk about them. There's nothing wrong about talking about the fears that we all have.
Yeah, I think that's one of the first steps to solving it. You have to realize that it is a problem. And as long as nobody talks about it, then it just sits there dormant and doesn't get better.
Yeah. And it's kind of like it's normal because so many people all of us have some type of fears, but it interferes with the outcomes we're trying to achieve in our business.
Yes, I agree.
I'd like to switch just a little bit. I loved your article you wrote, Unlocking the Leader Within, Conquering Stage Fright.
Mm-hmm.
And the first tip or first section you talked about was changing mindset. We only have about 2 minutes for the break, so I'm not sure if you can delve into that, but maybe just at least introduce the idea about changing mindset before we go to break.
Okay, yeah, I'll do it, and I'll keep an eye on the time. It's all about, do we believe that we can change? If you don't, I think we hang labels on ourselves. I did it with, I can't speak in public, I can't draw, I have no mechanical aptitude. And then we use that as an excuse. If when we were babies, the first time we got up to walk, we fell down, and if we had the presence of mind to say, oh, I can't walk, and then we'd all be crawling around. We'd have a nation of, you know, everybody on the planet would be crawling on their knees because nobody walks the first time. When we go to ride a bike, I think that's probably one of the last times that we have a fear, we face it, and then we feel that joy of learning how to ride a bike, and we feel really good about it. But then as we get older, if a situation comes up and we don't like it and it's hard, then we just say, I can't do it. And then we use that excuse when there's an opportunity to speak in public and we've labeled ourselves as somebody who can't speak. The easy way out is to say, I can't speak. I just don't do that. I have stage fright. I can't. So the first step towards overcoming a fear is realizing that just because you couldn't do something before doesn't mean you can't do it now. And then start working at it. And yeah, it's not going to be easy. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It may take 2 years or 3 years. But if you don't start, you'll never change. So it all starts up in the head with changing your mind and realizing you can overcome the fear.
Cool. So change is a process. When we come back from break, I'd like to dive into your book just a little bit, Walt, because there's a lot of great tips here. So we'll be back here in just a few minutes. So please join us again.
Coach Keith will share lessons he's learned from a 20-year study of career engagement, motivation, and personal leadership after we return from this short break. Information about book publishing is power. The power to change your authoring life and the power to change the lives of your readers. So join us for Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific on the Rockstar Radio Network. We'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now. As the book shepherd, Dr. Judith Briles is in. And each week, she will include publishing professionals that will reveal tips and secrets to the author's journey. If there is a book in you, you want to listen, learn, and yes, call in with your questions each week. For more on Judith and what she can do for you, check out her website, thebookshepherd.com. It's Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Brought to you by Author You and The Book Shepherd. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Rockstar Radio Network. Are you happy with your life? Satisfied with the direction you're taking? More importantly, are you content with the results you're seeing? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join host Brian K. Wright as he talks to experts in many areas relating to life success, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. Each week is a dose of inspiration. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. Success Profiles Radio is a show that will clearly demonstrate the principle, if I can do it, you can do it. So don't miss this opportunity to take control of your life and your results. Success Profiles Radio with Brian K. Wright, Mondays at 5 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to Alaska Coach Keith's radio show. Keith, a life coach and professional speaker, continues his focus on motivation and career revitalization. Here to help us focus on our dreams, take steps towards our objectives, and become alive with purpose, here is Alaska Coach Keith Baldwin.
Welcome back to the show. We're interviewing Walt Grassel today, the author of Stand Up and Speak Up, and talking about personal transformation, personal change, about once we decide that we want to do something, that sometimes fears come up or our limiting beliefs or sometimes our gremlins that I've talked about in past shows that tell us we can't do something. And Walt's been laying out some strategies for how we can face our fears head on and develop strategies for moving forward. So thanks for the rich content you shared with us so far, Walt. I'd like to dive into the book in just a minute, but one thing I want to hit on, and it's actually from a chapter in your book, so I guess it all fits, is the idea that once we make a decision, sometimes we go to some sort of seminar or we buy a book and we get excited about making some sort of change in life, and then we start and then it fizzles and we stop doing it. And I'm just curious, because you've had both a health focus and also your speaking focus over the last few years. Can you share a little bit about the transformation you made and how did you stick with it when you must have had times, like all of us, when we just don't want to do something that we really need to do?
That's a good question. One of the biggest things people can do is develop accountability partners or some accountability mechanism. Years before I would go to the gym, and I was part of a group that everybody got there at 5 a.m., and we would start lining up around 4:45 in the morning to work out. And the fact that I knew if I didn't go work out, people would notice. Now, if I missed a day and came in, somebody might go, oh, were you sick yesterday or whatever? And it wasn't like they were going to beat me up if I didn't show up. But there was some psychological aspect to not showing up. When I did the walking recently, where I lost quite a bit of weight, the first step towards doing that was to begin to walk daily. And what I did is I used an app called Map My Walk, and I would post the results on Facebook. And my friends on Facebook became pseudo accountability partners. A few friends every day would like that I took the walk. And I knew that if I didn't walk, or at least if I didn't post that I walked, people would know that I didn't do what I said I was going to do. If we keep our goals and our objectives a secret, then there's nobody to hold us accountable. But if we have a person we check in with once a week, or we use Facebook to put things out there, something so that we're not just accountable to ourselves. You and I and two others are part of a weekly accountability phone call that we started after one of the mastermind groups. And what we do is we hold each other accountable. It's like having a boss, but when you're an entrepreneur and you work for yourself, you don't have a boss. So you need to kind of create that sort of environment where you have yourself and you're holding yourself accountable to somebody else.
So how important has accountability been to you and your personal growth?
It's been a lot. I've been pretty self-disciplined, so I wouldn't say that it was a big driver. I could have done these. Some people absolutely will fail if they don't do it. I might not have failed had I not done it, but it made it easier for me, if that makes sense. So yeah. Even if you're a strong person, it makes it easier for you to get somebody out there to function as what I call an accountability partner.
It kind of makes it feel like we're not taking this journey on our own too.
That's true, because that's the one thing when you try and do it by yourself and times get hard or you have a struggle, you don't really have anybody that you can trust to talk to. And if you just have somebody that you talk to on a weekly basis, they can be a close friend, they can be an acquaintance, somebody who just will be there for you. And it's simply, this is what I wanted to accomplish this week. this is what I ended up doing. These are my plans for next week. And somebody to bounce an idea or two off of, or just be a sounding board where they just listen while you talk something out. And it can be done in 5 or 10 minutes. It's not a time-consuming process. It's just something that one needs to do regularly for it to be effective. Pick a time that works for both of you. Put it on your calendar and have the phone call. I've had some one-on-ones that the calls are like 10 minutes, and it's very powerful. So that is one of the biggest tools that a person can do. In a work environment, I would have team meetings, and some of the team meetings were 5 or 10 minutes. Just because you call a meeting doesn't mean it has to last for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. You meet to conduct business, and then that's how long the meeting should be. And you would just get together, go over progress, find out if there's any problems, and if everything's going smooth and there are no problems, pat everybody on the back and go forward. But if there are problems, or if somebody's falling behind, it forces them to have to acknowledge that they're falling behind and either pick it up or ask for help.
I love that concept of the quick meetings. There's a quote, I can't remember who it's by, but it goes something like that the biggest problem with communication is the illusion that it occurred.
Yep.
And it's funny, sometimes when I've had meetings with people I work with, sometimes on our team, that we have totally different understandings about what we're doing. And if we weren't having the meetings, we'd be going off on two different directions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'd like to talk a bit about the book. Tell me, to start with, Walt, why did you decide to write a book?
It's kind of funny. Well, one thing on my bucket list, writing a book was always there, but the idea of doing one quickly disappeared from my mind, and that was something that I never thought I would do. But in figuring out what I was going to do when I retired, and realizing that when I told my story about overcoming stage fright late in life, people really liked that.
Yeah.
I decided that would be something to share with people. We're studying with Craig Doeswalt and his Rockstar marketing system, his Rockstar Entrepreneur Conference, his Rockstar Mindset. And it was there when people who had businesses were then told to go out and speak about your business, write a book, and then do a radio show. And me, coming out of a pretty intense 37-year career in aerospace, I didn't necessarily want to have to do a lot of work. So the easiest thing to do would be a radio show. And then the next thing would be writing a book, since he has a formula on how to write a book in 30 days. And I figure, okay, those are two activities. The idea of starting a speaking business and going out there and speaking to people, or opening up any kind of a business, seemed like too much work. So the synergy between the radio show and the book, they both have the same name, cover the same topics. And I just took the stories that I told in speeches and kind of told my story of how I went from somebody who had severe stage fright to somebody who addressed that fear, and what were some of the steps that I took to do that. Craig Valentine, who's one of my speaking mentors, talks about having a foundational phrase for your speech. And most of the things that I came up with, which I called Walt's Rules, were foundational phrases from a speech where I told a story where that particular rule was the concept that allowed me to overcome a fear or solve a problem.
Let's dive into some of those rules, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And we've touched on this a little bit with mindset, but it's such an important concept that if you wouldn't mind just discussing a little bit more. And your chapter's titled, Just Because You Couldn't Doesn't Mean You Can't. Can you just go into that? That's worth repeating, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I used the example before I came up with the baby and the bicycle analogy that I talked about earlier. I had three kind of pivotal moments in my life where I hung big labels on myself. One was in first grade. I had to draw a cat. as part of a homework assignment. And I could draw a ball, which was basically a circle without too much difficulty, and a tree, which was a circle with a line under it. And I could do that, and I was all jazzed. And then I had to draw a cat, and I could not put lines on a paper that looked anything like a cat. And I tried and I tried, and I started to cry, and my parents were trying to help me, bringing out scratch paper, trying to get me to do it, and I just couldn't do it. And from that time in first grade, I told myself, I can't draw, I can't draw. Later in life, I watched a TV show on PBS, and it was teaching kids how to draw these little cartoons, and they put some art concepts, and I actually taped the shows back when they had VCRs, and I would play them back, and I kind of taught myself how to draw. That was an example of, you know, I couldn't draw. I labeled myself as somebody that couldn't draw, but guess what? I really could draw. I just didn't apply myself. I did the same thing with speaking. I did it with mechanical aptitude. I went to a technical high school. They gave us an aptitude test, and all the things having to do with, you know, isometric drawings and 3D drawings and 3D renderings, it was, I did terrible on. And they asked me, well, what shop do you want to go into? And I said electronics, and they said, good, because if you'd have said mechanical, we'd have tried to discourage you. So I labeled myself as somebody who can't do mechanical things. And I had a pivotal moment when I was supposed to get together with my brother who was visiting from out of state, and we were supposed to go to lunch. And I said, oh, I can't. I have to call a plumber. I got it. Leaking shower. The shower was dripping. And he goes, don't call a plumber. We'll fix it. And it, you know, and I said, well, I'm not mechanical. And he said, well, just because you couldn't do it before doesn't mean you can't do it now. Let's look at it and try and do it. And he says, if you try these home repairs, you'll save money. And if you screw it up, then call somebody to help you out. And then that changed my mindset. So, you know, we do that all the time. And as I mentioned before, it's a lot easier to say I can't than it is to actually try, fail, get up, try, fail, get up, keep trying until you get it. And most of the time we can overcome things that we say we can't do.
Great. When we come back from the break, Walt, I'd like to touch a little bit about the impact that putting these labels on ourselves has for our future and how we can change those labels, and then dive into the book a little bit deeper. So
sounds,
I hope everybody
good.
Is taking a lot of notes. We'll be back in the fourth segment of the show in just a few minutes, and we'll dive a little further into Walt's book, Stand Up and Speak Up.
Coach Keith will share lessons he's learned from a 20-year study of career engagement, motivation, and personal leadership after we return from this short break.
In today's business world, you have to be LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's a great tool. And Carol McManus is the LinkedIn lady. Join us for the LinkedIn Lady Show every weekday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Carol is here to show you and your business how every social media site has a specific demographic, personality, and purpose that can benefit you. In each show, the LinkedIn Lady will have a variety of guests, such as business owners who will showcase their businesses and talk about how they're using social media to stay in touch with not only customers, but to attract new relationships that become customers. Other guests will be experts in social media who will speak to the use of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Plaxo, Squidoo, and of course, LinkedIn. For more on Carol and the show, check out her website, LinkedInLady.com. Join us for the LinkedIn Lady Show with your host, Carol McManus, every weekday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to be a rock star. Get ready to rock with Rock Talk and Craig Deswald, and learn how to achieve rock star status in your industry every Tuesday afternoon at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Craig Deswald is the creator of the Rockstar System for Success. Craig will share easy tips and strategies on how entrepreneurs and businesses can use outside-the-box marketing strategies to stand out from the competition. Each high-energy show will feature interviews with celebrity rock stars as well as business rock stars. For more on Craig, the show, and the Rockstar Marketing Boot Camps, check out the website, CraigDuswalt, D-U-S-W-A-L-T.com. so you can learn how to be perceived as an expert and celebrity in your field so more people come to you to buy your services and products. Then, get ready to be a rock star with Rock Talk and Greg Deswald, Tuesday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TuggyNet.com.
Welcome back to Alaska Coach Keith's radio show. Keith, a life coach and professional speaker, continues his focus on motivation and career revitalization. Here to help us focus on our dreams, take steps towards our objectives, and become alive with purpose, here is Alaska Coach Keith Baldwin.
Hey, welcome back to the fourth segment of today's radio show. Today we're interviewing Walt Grassel, the author of the book Stand Up and Speak Up. And we've been talking about how to shift our mindset. You know, once we get a clear idea about what we want to do with our life and find things that are holding us back, you know, how do we change our mindset so we start developing belief in self and then start taking action? And Walt, one of the things that I heard a long time ago from Jim Rohn was that when the why is big enough, the how becomes easy. I'm just curious, you basically transform yourself, as you mentioned in your book, from Walt 1.0 to Walt 2.0. And you talked a bit about like some work reasons why you started that transformation, but can you share a little bit about, you know, what's your big why? What's a big reason for why you wanted to make this change in yourself?
You know, Keith, that's something I didn't really think about. I sort of did it just because I needed to do that in the next step of my evolution. It turned out to be such a big impact because I just started knocking down the dominoes when I started taking steps to conquer this fear. But what I think may have been going on under my subconscious didn't come clear to me until about a month or so ago when I had Margaret Page, a Toastmaster, on my show. And she has a stepdaughter who is getting ready to make a fairly decent sized or a presentation to a decent sized audience. And she asked if she was afraid. And her stepdaughter told her, no. And if I were, I would do something about it. I will not have my life ruled by fear. And when I look back with hindsight, I probably had my boss kind of push me. But really, I was sick and tired of spending 50 years of my life being afraid of public speaking and all the stress and all the angst. And finally, he kind of pushed me. But then what really got me going was, you know what? I'm just sick and tired of being afraid. You know, she put it into words what I think I was feeling. I just got tired of being afraid, and I was going to do something about it.
I love that, not have a life ruled by fear. One thing that I've always found an interesting distinction is the difference between courage and fear. You know, sometimes people, when they're making that transition, and even sometimes in the midst of the transition, they still have the fear, but they do it anyway. Can you talk a bit about that for what happened with you?
Yeah, it's like it's when I did the stand-up. I mean, this was at the Hollywood Improv. The first time I was going on stage, it was part of a graduation for a class. We got stage time at a regular Sunday night show open to the public, you know, 200 people with a 2-drink minimum. And wow. I was so afraid. It was like, how did I get myself into this? I was shaking. I was nervous. I just knew I wouldn't be able to remember my jokes, but I'm going to do it. I know some people who have signed up for those kind of classes, and then when push comes to shove, they skip the show because it's just too much for them to do. I said I would not allow myself to take a step back. There was almost like there was a wall behind me. Not doing something once I committed to it was not an option. So regardless of what I felt, I did it anyway. And when I was finished, my mind went blank in the middle of my set, but I made a joke out of it. It's a little bit of a long story, so I won't go into it, but basically I used me forgetting as an opportunity to poke fun at myself. I got a laugh for that. I got back on track, and just having gotten through 5 minutes in front of a real audience and getting laughs and not dying and not, you know, totally collapsing on stage was such a high that from that point forward I just continued. Anytime a thing comes up, I get out there even though I'm afraid, I do it anyway. And you still have a little bit of fear or a little bit of nervousness. But a recent guest of mine, Byron Davis, said the difference between fear and excitement is your anticipation of the outcome. If you think you're going to fail or there's a bad outcome, it's fear. If you think there's a positive outcome, it's excitement. So the more you do something, the more you can convince yourself that it's not going to be a bad outcome, then you become less afraid and it becomes more exciting.
It's almost like that feeling becomes the energy then.
Yes, you can actually harness it, and it becomes a good thing. It lets you know that you're excited about this opportunity, and you know that things may not go perfect, but you're not going to die, and you'll get through it, and you'll do a good job. And like with the stand-up bit, it could be perfect, but it almost never is. But the whole point is to get the audience to laugh, not to be laughing necessarily at 100% of the jokes, because sometimes they don't get the setup. It's not your fault. And even if you deliver one wrong, as long as you get laughs, you've done your job. Or if you're speaking, if you communicate your thought and people get your message, if you don't tell the speech flawlessly, most of the time they don't even know. If you leave out a small section, they don't know.
It's interesting. You mentioned that you blanked out, but then you actually were able to just turn it into another joke. And one of the chapters in your book is you can't just study, you have to do the work. So I'm curious how doing the work, how that impacts your ability to, basically step into that limelight and make the best of it, even when you forget something.
Well, one of the things I did early on was I studied a lot about speaking. And if you gave a test on what made a good speech or what made a good speaker, I would get an A on that written test. But I was never speaking. I was gathering knowledge and not practicing. And when people have to get out of that mindset at a certain point of, okay, I've learned enough that I can go out there and start trying things. And when you try, and then when things fail, one of the things in comedy is called a callback. And it turns out that the person who went up on stage before me forgot his lines. And one of the tricks stand-up comics have is they'll use like a 3x5 card or a piece of paper, and they'll just list their jokes in order. In case they forget, they can pull this out and look at it in a casual manner and put it in their pocket. Well, this guy forgot. He stumbled a bit. And when he went into his pocket, he was kind of apologizing for going there. So when I forgot, I had just seen this guy do that. So I used an exaggerated motion to reach into my pocket, and I slowly pulled it out and looked at it, sort of imitating him. So him going into his pocket set up me doing it, and it got a laugh. And then I remembered what the next joke was, and then I started telling it. So, but it's because I had training. I knew what callbacks were. And in practicing for the show, we had done some, we would get up in front of the class and tell our jokes, and I had gone to a couple of open mics just to practice. So I was a little more comfortable than being totally petrified, and I had the presence of mind to use that callback technique.
So part of it is certainly doing the study, but then a big piece is then the study has to be taken into action.
Yeah, and it has to be taken into action in a couple ways. One, you have to practice what you're doing. And then the other is you have to go perform. And the way I use that is if you're speaking and want to be a good speaker, you can join Toastmasters and you could speak at your club. But you really ought to speak in front of non-Toastmaster audiences where it's a less safe environment, or participate in speech contests where the stakes are a little higher so that you get used to speaking in a higher stake environment. And then it's like, then you repeat. So you find out, you figure out what you could improve on from your performance. You study if you need to study a little bit more. Then you go practice, and then you go perform again. So you can't just stay in the study mode and become an expert on the theory of whatever it is you want to do. You have to learn the theory, practice it, and then perform it.
And go for results.
One of the things I've
noticed with coaching clients is sometimes when they decide to make this transformation and they start getting the vision about what they want and who they want to be, it just seems like sometimes they start feeling overwhelmed. And one of the chapters in your book is called Take Small Steps. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there's a book by Dr. Robert Maurer that's called One Small Step Can Change Your Life. And the theory there is, if let's use weight loss as an example. If you say, I'm going to go to the gym and work out for an hour every day, well, there's a lot of problems with doing that. But if you were to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk in place during the commercials when I'm watching TV in the evening, or the first commercial, I'm going to get up and walk in place for 1 minute. Most people can do that. And once you start doing something, you can overcome inertia. So if you want to overcome your fear of public speaking, join a Toastmasters club and just to go to meetings, and then decide, okay, I'm going to speak once every so often, and then maybe increase the frequency of your speeches, and then start competing in contests. You don't want to go in and say, okay, I'm going to join Toastmasters, do stand-up, do improv, and sign up for everything at one time.
Right.
It gets overwhelming, and you're taking on much more than you can handle. The biggest thing we need to do as human beings, I believe, is overcome that inertia, that resistance to changing our behavior. So think of something small you can do that takes you in the first step in the direction you want to go, and do that step. Act on it as quickly as possible and make that a habit. Then the subsequent steps you need to take come much, much easier. The first step is always the hardest step.
And the chapter in your book about perfection is the enemy of progress is, are you referencing there that just take the step?
Yeah, take the step and don't worry about not being good, especially at Toastmasters. That's where you want to make mistakes. Like with the babies, nobody's successful the first time they try something. Very rarely are they successful. It's about being persistent and do something, learn from it, do it again. You know, it took Edison how many times to, you know, develop the light bulb? He just figured out a bunch of ways not to do it first. Same thing with when we want to change our behavior. Take steps. Don't try and be perfect. You'll never be perfect, especially when you start, but trying to be good is good enough, and you will develop excellence over time.
Cool.
You'll never get perfection.
Walt, we only have probably about 30 seconds left. Are there any final comments you'd like to leave for our listeners?
Yeah, simply, if you want to make a change, take a first step. If you've labeled yourself as you can't do something and you feel you want to do it, don't let that label stop you. Just because you couldn't do something before doesn't mean you can't do it now.
And how can people find you, Walt?
Easiest way is waltgrassel.com, G-R-A-S-S-L.
Cool. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us on this, and thanks very much, Walt, for being our guest today. Take care.
Thanks for having me, Keith. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's edition of Alaska Coach Keith's radio show. Join us every week at the same time as we focus on transition, career revitalization, and freedom. Today's program, along with others in the series, is available for download